My name is Dave Tindall. I'm at Seattle Pacific University, and I'm happy to introduce Mark Fitzgerald, the Director of Customer Care at Boise State University. Mark has been at Boise for 5 years and 10 years before that at BYU, and he's here to talk about Google Apps at their deployment. We're going to leave some time for questions at the end, and we'd like you to come forward and use the microphone. We're recording this session, and we'd like to be able to pick up your full questions. So, go for it, Mark.
Thank you very much, Dave. So, like you mentioned, I'm from Boise State University. We're the largest university in Idaho, and often we're known for our blue football field, but there's a lot more going on at the university than just football. We really have been working to becoming a major metropolitan research university of distinction. And the university is just shy of 20,000 students. In the 5 years that I've been there, we've continued to add and add each semester the number of students attending the university. And as we've done so, we've seen a lot of dynamic change. We've seen a lot of change in technology. One of the driving things was the adoption and use of Google Apps for Education. And that's what I want to talk with you guys about today, is kind of our path and our journey of selecting this tool and implementing this tool specifically for faculty and staff. Now, it's a common tool to be used for students, but it's a very different tool when we start talking about how to use this with faculty and staff of the university. So I want to go over the choice, why we made the choice that we did, how we came about it, but I also want to talk about why we didn't, why we did not make the move and why we did make the move, because that ended up being an important part of the discussion. And we'll talk about what we learned from the move and how Google is different. All right, so let's talk about the choice. We were in a situation, not uncommon in university setting, where we were using a particular vendor, in this case Novell's GroupWise, and we looked at said, should we replace this infrastructure? It's time, it's due for an upgrade, both of the hardware, both the software. Should we do this or should look around what's being used? Now, we had a lot of complaints about GroupWise, but dealing with faculty and staff, we had a lot of complaints about pretty much what any tool that we'd been using. So we said, all right, what does the marketplace look like? Of course, Exchange was a big player in the market. Microsoft, at the time, was just coming out with Live at EDU, and at the time, it was not available to faculty and staff for free. It was a charged product, so we had the choice of Live at EDU, we had the choice of Exchange, continue on with GroupWise, Google Apps was on the market, and there were several other offerings. And so we began to take a look and said, you know, GroupWise really isn't going to cut this for us. Let's take a look seriously at Google Apps for Education. We'd already moved our students there, and we asked the question, why not faculty and staff? What is missing from this tool? And we came up with a lot of concerns that were pretty common. What we didn't do this for, though, was to save money. Yes, there is very limited expense in going into Google Apps. You know, the base model, it doesn't cost anything, right? Well, it has a little bit of cost. We had to put a server in place, had to do some things for authentication. But this wasn't about saving money. Unfortunately, when we did this, it was just after the economy really tanked. And so as people said, well, you're choosing this, we're getting the rock bottom product, and we'll get something better when the economy turns around, right? Well, no. We actually took a look at this and said, can we do this for strategic reasons? And that's some of the strategic reasons is what I want to talk about. We also didn't do it to just say we're in the cloud. We've all heard about being in the cloud. Now, I'm sure if I polled everybody in the room, we all have a different definition of what it means to be in the cloud. But there was a strong push to say, all right, what are we doing that's in the cloud? Well, Google Apps wasn't part of that. We weren't doing this just to say we were there. We had to have better reasons than that. And so what are those better reasons? Well, really came down to three issues that we wanted to discuss: strategic alignment, support, and security. Start with strategic alignment. With strategic alignment, we wanted to be responsive to customer feedback. people were telling us that, you know, as much as they could read their email, the products we were using both for students and for faculty weren't cutting it. It wasn't a collaboration platform. It was just simply email. It was a way of getting things to and from. So a lot of faculty and staff, they were already forwarding their email out to another product already, whether it was Google or Yahoo or Microsoft. It didn't matter. They were sending it to where they were most comfortable with. Well, that doesn't really help us if we're providing an enterprise collaboration tool and everybody's using their own thing. That kind of defeats the purpose. Now, had people taken the time to learn GroupWise or Exchange or any other product, could they have been successful? Yes. But we found that we spent hours and hours in classroom training scenarios trying to teach people how to use the tools that we were providing. We had an 8-hour course developed on how to use GroupWise. That was eating me alive. I didn't have the bandwidth. I didn't have the people to continually staff those classes. But there was constant demand saying, we need to know how to use this tool better. And I asked, is there a better way? Can we get away from having to do 8 hours worth of classroom training? We also had a problem with platform independence. Look around. How many apples do you see in this room? Well, Novell and Microsoft, they play on that platform, but it's always the second thought. And as we've taken a look at the university, that platform, Apple in particular, but also Linux, is continually growing. The Microsoft platform is contracting. And so we needed a tool that really was platform independent. And we also wanted to align the technology with the mission of the university. And we really thought about this from a strategic perspective. What did we want to do to align the technology with the strategy? Well, I started off with what our high-level goals of the university are: to become a major metropolitan research university of distinction. All right, what does that mean to me? Can we make a difference in students' lives? Can we make a difference in the way that faculty interact with students? Can, by simply providing a tool, make a difference to what happens in the classroom? Now, I don't want to leave off other people in the strategic alignment. Can we make a difference in how things are done in the administration of the university and how people collaborate within finance and administration, within facilities, within these different auxiliary arms? Can we find a tool that meets everybody's needs and not just a small subset? And our review of Google Apps found that we could do that. Now, people often ask me about the security of Google Apps, and we actually approach this from a different perspective. And that is, we feel Google can provide far more security than our team is capable of doing. That's not a slam on our team. I think our team is very security conscious. I think they're very capable, but we're a pretty small team. And we're not there 24 hours a day. We're not as vigilant as paying somebody who's a professional at this of securing our data. Do we trust our limited networks and our limited system engineering resources to better protect than the security staff of Google? And when it came down to it, we trust Google more than we trust ourselves to protect that data. Now, a lot of the conversation with faculty and staff up front was, who owns the data? What happens if there's a security leak? What are the risks that we're taking? And so we sat down with both Google and with our end users and discussed those risks. Contractually, physically, we still own the data. Yes, it is on their servers. Just like anybody else's outsourced or cloud-provided services, we retain the rights to our data. They're responsible to protect them and take on that liability if, at their fault, that they lose them. And it was interesting, a scenario where we sat down and said, do we have services out on the cloud? And the consensus around the room was, no, not really. We really haven't embraced that yet. But then when we said, well, what services are being provided by outside vendors? And we started thinking about that and said, well, a lot of our library stuff is on a vendor server. Well, our survey software. And then as we started going through, we named about 25 different vendors out there that we had different information sources or different things on their servers out in the cloud. And once we realized, hey, we're already doing this, a lot of the fear, the intrepidation went away. We already are engaging with people. We do need to firm up our contracts. We do need to engage people. But what difference is Google as another vendor, perhaps Blackboard, in providing a resource on their servers as opposed to ours? The other question was, will the data be used in ways as we, as owners of the data, do not approve of? And Google is very upfront and clear that they do index and scan each email that comes through. But that's the same thing that we were doing with our internal system, because that's how you do virus protection. That's how you thread different emails. Yes, all of this indexing does take place. Now, with Google Apps, are we getting up advertising based on the content of our email? No, the advertising's turned off. We don't see that. You know, it is part of what the system does, though. Are we comfortable with that? Yeah, I'm comfortable that no human is reviewing our data and inspecting our emails, but that automated processes used to protect us are indexing those emails. So security wasn't a concern once we thought about it. Support was a concern. You know, Google doesn't tell us every time they're going to change the interface. In fact, Google doesn't tell us any time they're going to change the interface. It was a very different support model to come in and say, all right, what's different today? And what we found is usually it changes about 3 in the afternoon, and so several of our support individuals will log out and log back in mid-afternoon just to see if there's any changes, and we might start fielding a few phone calls on it. Now, what I like about the Google model is it's not a big bang change. Go back to why we were going to change out our email system. At the time, we needed to change hardware and we needed to change versions of Novell GroupWise. The entire interface was going to change. I was going to have to retool and retrain all of my end users. That wasn't something I wanted to do. Now, Google is constant, slow, and steady change. And I found that our users are far more receptive to that because it's not big change. It's not absolute panic. Oh, it's something is slightly moved to the left and now it has a gear symbol instead of saying settings. They react okay to the small and steady change. But to the big bang change, they panic and have to relearn what they're doing. Now, yes, I've talked about reducing the number of training classes, reducing the number of calls to the help desk. Email was our number one call volume to the help desk for both student and faculty and staff. When we made the change to move the students, the calls literally evaporated. They went away for us. That was a large cost savings. And with faculty and staff, I can tell you that our call volume has dropped, but it hasn't gone away. We haven't seen the dramatic change. But I think that faculty and staff use the tool very different than students. It is an enterprise collaboration tool in which they're using the calendar heavily, that they're using the documents, they're using email, they're sharing things out. Students, yes, they do collaborate for products, but primarily it's an email system. Primarily, they're working independently. They're not part of a work team that has deadlines other than class projects. And so the work aspect is changed. Now, the calls that come to us are a lot of how do I use calls. It's not necessarily that it's broke. Do I have it's broke calls? Yes, I do. Not nearly as many as I did with our previous product, and not nearly as many outages as I had with our previous product. It is far more stable and a reliable platform. Now, in taking a look at that, we were concerned and said, well, if it goes down, how do we contact Google? You know, what do we do? And we have contacted Google many times, and they've been very responsive. And it is nice to have a responsive vendor engaged in what we're trying to accomplish. And in some ways, they've been more responsive than our own internal team, saying, oh, no, it's the help desk calling again. Google's been very good, and there's less to install. We made the conscious decision in using Google Apps not to use a third-party client, not to use IMAP or POP. We're using the web interface. Now, that decision was one of the more difficult decisions. I know a lot of people that have switched, you know, essentially changed their POP client from whatever they were providing to the POP client to going to Google. You lose out on all the features on what makes this a collaboration tool. You've, at that point, changed it into just a communications tool, just an email tool. And so we made the decision to go with a web client. Now, that's less to install, that's less to maintain on our desktops, and driving us more to a model in which we are just supporting the browser on top of an operating system. Now that we've done this, we're kind of started asking, now, which browsers do we support? Does this behave the same way on every browser? No, it doesn't, but it does work on every browser that we've used. It does behave differently. And so we're learning as we go along. Now, since we started this, we've had faculty and staff on there for 2 years now. Google's also come a long ways in what they're offering and what they're capable of doing. I forgot my top bullet point there, free up our system engineers. We had 1.5 FTE dedicated to maintaining our email system just in the office of IT. That's not counting what was out in the college departments. Saving 2 FTE that I can rededicate to other products, that is amazing. Yes, do you have a question? Yes.
We can help let you figure out how to do mail alert or something, for example. So why did you feel your support calls and training went down?
Okay, let me repeat the question. The question is, why do I feel that my support needs and my training burden has gone down? All right, to quickly answer the question is, numerical numbers have told me they have gone down. Now, the analyst of why has it gone down is a little more subjective. First of all, I think it is a more intuitive product. Second of all, because it was designed to be for the consumer market first and then adapted to the corporate market, I think people are more comfortable in what they're able to accomplish. And because it does rely on that consumer model, there's also a lot more support out there on the internet that people are used to using. Now, I think we can analyze it even deeper. On the student side, that answers that question. On the faculty and staff side, I think people wanted to be more engaged. That the legacy tool that they were used to using, those that have been there used it one way. Well, they used it the way it was designed 8-10 years previously when it was installed. Those coming in were primarily used to Exchange or another tool. They were in, it was a very foreign environment, and so we had kind of a meeting of the minds where people were not satisfied. There was an old camp and a new school, and they weren't using it, and so the help desk ended up being in the middle. One of the things I think I wanted to mention a little later in the presentation is that I still have had to do presentations. They didn't go away completely. The help desk calls haven't gone away completely. They've just been reduced. So I'm not sure it's a full analyzation of your question, but the numerical numbers have told me they have gone down, and we've done that. We've always related that because this is more of a consumer-based product. Let's also talk about how we made the transition, and that might answer some of the things of how we've reduced our burden. We use three primary things: two-way communication, training, and personal contact. And though the combination of those three things was very labor intensive, but it paid dividends, probably helping towards the reduced call volume. Starting with the personal contact is, we did not do this big bang approach for faculty and staff. For students, we said, hey, on this day, you're using a new email system. Great, 20,000 students transitioned, we're over. For faculty and staff, we did it over the course of a semester, and we went and visited every single user. Wow, that's 3,800 users that we went and visited. Now, at the faculty and staff side, at the college level, we gave the college permission to do it the way they saw that was fit. So from the centralized level, we handled the administration. my office went and visited 1,200 users. And as we went and visited, we wanted to see what their work patterns were, what they were trying to accomplish. We wanted to make sure that this was a seamless transition. It gave the chance for us to ask questions and dispel rumors. It gave them the chance to ask us questions and better understand the tool. Now, we thought this was the silver bullet. Many of us on staff had gone through email transitions before, either to or from Exchange, to or from GroupWise at other universities. We knew how painful this could be. And so we said, we want a hands-on approach, we want a personal approach, we want to control rumors, we want to provide information, provide training. You know what? This was still painful. It didn't matter. There were still rumors. There were still concerns that this tool wouldn't be able to do our job, the same thing that we heard about every other time we've done a large-scale implementation. Was it worth the work? Yes, absolutely it was worth the work to visit every person individually. It was a lot of work, but there was a lot of success with that. It also gave us the chance to open up specific things for training. Now, we created a series of videos, 5-minute vignettes, if you will, demonstrating common tasks, answering common questions, showing common techniques. We found a problem with this. The feedback was pretty universal that people said, I don't have time to watch this 5-minute video. I need an hour-long training class. Excuse me? You don't have 5 minutes, but you need an hour-long training class. Can you explain to me why is that? Well, if I get up and go to a different building, to a computer lab, and sit down and give you my undivided attention, I've got time for an hour. But if I'm sitting here at my desk, the phone's ringing, people coming in and out, I don't have time to focus on whatever you guys are telling me to do for 5 minutes. Well, that was eye-opening to me. I did not expect that. Now, the people that watched the videos gave us feedback saying that the videos were of high quality, they learned from them, they were useful, but we had a cultural issue. And really, isn't that what change is all about, is managing the culture? And the culture was instruction on how to use technology happens in a classroom. And that took a lot for us. So are we still producing videos? Yes, we are. But are we also still doing classes? Yes, but not nearly to the rate we were doing them. Were we doing an 8-hour training long class for GroupWise? Yes. Were we doing that for Google Apps? No. If you tallied all of our different types of classes, it might total 3 hours long. So we've seen a reduction there. But we've also started looking at this from a generational perspective. And if you break our audience out into generations, which would be another presentation all into itself, that we found that Generation Y and Generation X employees are not coming to our training classes. It is purely our baby boomer generation that wants the in-person, show me how to do this step by step in our training classes. And we're willing, since we have that capability, and we want to engage with our end users, we're willing to continue doing that. Thankfully, it's less of a burden than it used to be. We also did large presentations, something like this, in which we called Getting to Know Google. They were an hour-long overview in which we would touch on the high-level aspects in a large group setting and allow people to ask questions. We did special topic seminars when we said, all right, let's talk about tasks. And we would demonstrate and discuss tasks for an hour, or the calendar, or Google Sites. And then we also broke down and finally said, all right, there's enough clamoring that we need to do instructor-led, step-by-step training classes. Yes, question?
I know I'm going to sound like the devil's advocate here.
Please.
With this same level of TLC with your legacy office automation tools like Word and Excel and PowerPoint, they've gotten pretty much to the same place that you got to with Google Apps?
Quite possibly. The question was, if we gave the same level of TLC to our legacy application, would we have gotten to the same level for Google Apps? I think we have to be honest and say, yes, that's quite possible. But as we took a look, this wasn't very far off from the level of service we were already providing with our legacy app. Now, did we go and sit down with every individual on our legacy app one by one? No, we did not. The benefit that we've had is all this upfront training transitioned us. We haven't seen the need to go back and have the continual training. Where it, with our legacy app, every time we onboarded a new employee, they said, I don't know where to begin. I'm not comfortable with this tool, and I ask around in my department, nobody else is comfortable with it, despite the fact that they've gone to training. Where now, as we've asked on the onboarding, people that are brought in said, well, no, I've already used Gmail, or I can ask the department secretary and they're comfortable in asking us with it. So whether our training has been more effective or the tool is better, I'm not sure. But we are seeing less of a burden because intuitively, whether it's intuitively or the training is more effective, people coming in have not been clamoring for new support. It could be, and if you use the microphone, because we are broadcasting this online, that will help. In fact, you want to, yes.
And we actually have a question coming in from our online participants at Southwest Baptist Theological Seminary, and they ask, how do you handle email backups and recovery for staff and faculty?
Okay. Well, let's answer that question. There are a couple of different ways. First of all, we didn't offer that email backup and recovery in our previous system. So there was no expectation for that. The second way is that our previous system, they were capped on space, where this system, yes, they are capped on space, but they're capped at 7.5 gigabytes of space. Currently, I have over 150,000 emails in my inbox, and I'm doing okay. I still have space to grow. And so the need to delete and things like that. So recovery isn't an issue. Now, there are products out there offered by Google, such as Google Postini, in which enables that retention, recovery, and things of that nature. We're just barely getting into that market, so we're now just barely beginning to offer some of these things. I'm not sure I answered your second question, though. And I'm drawing a blank on what it was.
Just that the apps, the online apps,
yeah, so rather than a question, it's more of a comment that was stated was that the legacy apps were more complicated and these are a little bit more simplistic. I think on the surface, yes, that is what appears to be the case. You know, one of my managers is quoted as saying that this is collaboration for the 21st century, where a lot of the tools that we have been using in the industry are great tools and they've kept up with the times. This one has been designed from the ground up for collaboration in the 21st century. And I like that quote from him.
And Mark, there's some additional questions coming in from online. Would you like us to ask those now or would you like to roll through the rest of the presentation?
Let's do two of them right now and then we'll hold off on and do a couple more.
Sounds great. We have another question asking, has Google Apps replaced just email or Microsoft Office as well?
Good question. It has not replaced Microsoft Office on our campus. It was never intended to replace Microsoft Office on campus. Now that we've been using it for 2 years, I can tell you in my office, nobody launches any Microsoft apps with the exception of me in the office. And now that's from a technical side of things. Microsoft Office is still heavily used on our campus. We never approached it from the perspective of replacing the office tools. Could it? Yes, I think it could, but you know what? I think they're complementary tools, and I love using them together, but I love using them for what their best and their strengths are. Okay, also how we did it was two-way communication, and if there is a lesson that you can learn from a transition in any large-scale project, it is engage two-way communication. It's not about you putting information on a website, publishing and training classes if you're never gathering the feedback. And this is something that, though we tried to do, we struggled with. We didn't do it as successfully as we hoped. Now, we had plenty of emails, websites, we even had printed flyers. When we reviewed and sent out surveys afterwards to ask how we did, we found out some interesting things. People appreciated the email the most because it was going to where they were reading. They did not like the paper. And that surprised us because we thought the culture was if it came in campus mail, they would read it. It would be in their hands. And that, frankly, wasn't the case, and we haven't done paper since. They were concerned about the green factor. They were concerned about the clutter, and it just got lost. That surprised us. This project really invigorated our blog. Our blog, broncobites.boisestate.edu, is now a two-way communication tool in which we publish information, people comment back. We find that it's being read throughout campus. This gave us a tool in which we could really communicate with campus with. And it was a very successful venture in that aspect of communication. It also gave us the chance to sit down and meet with departments. We sat down and we talked about the tool. We asked them their questions. We felt we understood their workflow. What they told us in very clear terms is, you don't understand how we do business in our department. And this greatly impacted how we do business in our department. Now, frankly, some of the departments that were saying that were doing weird things with email and sharing things out and sending things across. They had some very weird business practices that needed to be changed. But it wasn't IT's place to come in and say, you need to change your business practice. And we felt we understood it. We felt the tool was capable. We didn't do a good job of showing them. And that really made the transition difficult for some departments. One of the things that also was very successful was a communication at the managerial level, whether it be a department chair, a dean, or a manager, that we were sending out periodic emails. And we've tried to keep that up and tried to build kind of a liaison concept in which we're talking with the managers and saying, what are your technology needs and what things are we not meeting your expectations on, and opening and managing that relation. Now, we had a pretty good relationship with the community beforehand, but too often we'd hear, oh, that IT department is inflicting change on us. And we wanted to shore up that relationship. And a big change is not necessarily the tool you want to use for shoring up a relationship that's suffering from change management. But we decided to go in there and say, all right, let's open up this dialogue so it's not just us telling you what's going to happen, but that it's an understanding that we can get the timing right for your department, that we can work together more as a trusted partner and as a team. So what we learned, when you put all the pieces to the puzzle together, I think we learned quite a bit of things. Change is never easy, and it doesn't matter what the change is. The best example I can give to this is my own internal department. You would think that IT people are good with change. They deal with change every day. That's their job, right? Well, until the change impacts them. And so 7 months before we started faculty and staff, we cut over the help desk and said, put away the old tool, you're only using Google Apps. And boy, did I hear about that as a manager. Well, I need to support people on this old thing. I need to do this, I need to do that. Well, they struggled with the change as much as anyone. But once they got used to the change, once they ingrained themselves in thinking how to use this tool, we saw some spectacular results. Just one example is we created a Google site for our internal documentation. Now, we'd been engaged in a knowledge management culture, and we'd been sharing information back and forth. But within the first month, I had over 1,000 documents shared out, different pages, working together. And what we found is once everybody started uploading their personal notes, that everybody was doing things differently, that there was a different version of the truth depending on who you asked. And just that alone opened the minds of my staff to saying, maybe there is something about this collaboration as opposed to sharing. Maybe there is something we can learn here. We learned that you're never going to please everyone. Now, that doesn't give you an excuse not to try, but that, you know, we had 20% of our population that was very unhappy with our previous tool. Do I think we're down to 10% of our population that's very unhappy with our current tool, with Google? Yeah, it's probably 10% or less. There are fewer angry people than there used to be, but there still is a large percentage of people out there that are not happy. The issue is not about technology. It's about people and process and how we interact with people. Really, the technology in this field, you can choose any of the major vendors. I think you can be successful if you address the people and the processes. We should have communicated about our strategic alignment much earlier. When we were all said and done, we prepared a document that we distributed to all of campus explaining why we chose the tool that we did. It matched everything up with all of the strategic points that the university is trying to accomplish. It went into detail on a lot of the decision-making process. Unfortunately, we didn't share that beforehand. We shared it after. And so people said, this is a cost savings thing. We're doing this because it's a cool new techie thing. It was nothing of the sort. We actually felt we identified a tool that could make a difference in the workplace, in the office, in the classroom, in the lives of our individuals while maintaining the strategy of the university rather than just providing an email tool. People ask, you know, why did you switch to Google? Because it met the strategic needs of the university. I would challenge anyone and say, the email system you're using it today, was it picked out because it was the most popular, because it was technically a good decision, or are you matching things with the strategy of the university? Too often in technology, we just pick the most common tool or the market leader. Well, does that meet your strategy? If it meets your strategy, great, go for it. It doesn't matter. I'm not married to Google, and I'm not married to any tool. I want to use the one that is best for our strategy. In this case, Google really seemed to fit the bill for what our strategies are. And don't just say you know the business process. Actively demonstrate and show that you know the business process. That will win the hearts and minds of those business leaders in particular that you're trying to work with. Now, one thing I want to emphasize is that Google Apps is different. It is a 21st century approach, and it is very different in the way it does things. Offers a number of different tools, documents being one of them. Yes, could you replace Microsoft Office with it? It is a possibility. Forms, tremendous tool right there that we could analyze. Works very differently, but once you wrap your mind around how it works, a powerful tool. Sites. Google has continually told us that they're surprised how much we use Google Sites. That wasn't a tool that they expected to be so integrated into what we do. But that's used in the classroom heavily, heavily. But it's also used in the business processes of the university. Blogs. Feature of Google Sites is that there is a blogging feature. Few people know about it. Quick and easy to enable. But that kind of shows you how Google's different. They've got a lot of these things if you know where to turn it on and how to use it. Yes, there's mail, calendaring, tasks, contact, instant messaging. Now, the tie-in with Google Voice into the instant messaging is really beginning to change things. We chat back and forth all of the time within our call center, within IT, but now we all have cameras. We're all video chatting back and forth and saying, having a lot more collaboration face-to-face where you see and understand those visual cues and not just a happy smiley face at the end of the IM. And that's beginning to change us now 2 years into this even more so. And voice and video, two things that are greatly changing and expanding within the product. Okay. Google is different. It is a challenge to have things change on you midstream, not be communicated. It is a challenge that I think we're up and ready for. It is something that we've accepted and embraced in our process. We have to search out information. We have to think differently. to fully embrace, you have to learn to think differently. I put an example here of labels instead of folders. Now, Google said, we're not going to provide people folders. There's a better way of organizing your information. I fought this, but when I sat down and thought about it, they were right. Now, have they now since enabled a way of doing folders and matching up? There was such strong feelings towards this that they said, all right, there's enough demand. People want this. Let's make it happen. But if you fully embrace it, you'll find that you're far more efficient in finding information and being really a knowledge worker. Would we do it again? Absolutely, we would do it again. This was a cake made by one of our employees to celebrate when we'd converted our last user over. And we had a little bit of a celebration. It has been a marvelous experience. It was a lot of work to get there, but this is a tool that meets the needs of our faculty. This is a tool that meets the needs of our staff. And this is a tool that meets the needs of our IT department. And it has been a fascinating experience to understand and engage with so many different people on what our road has been. So let's take the time and answer any additional questions online or here in person. If you could use the microphone, it'd be greatly appreciated by those online.
Well, we do have a couple of questions coming in from Montana State University online, Mark. The first one is, did you feel the need for a solid and explicit support from the administration at the very beginning of the process? In other words, was it clear this was an institutional move and not just an IT-driven initiative?
Yes, we did. And so the opening announcement was from our Vice President of Finance Administration, co-signed by the Provost, and said, this is what we're doing. We felt that we could not safely, politically, continue without that. We felt that this big of a change, to show that it was aligned with the strategy, it was needed to have that email and that message up front to begin with.
And barring no questions from on site here, online is rather active today, so let me continue with the additional question. It said, you talked a lot about the mail component and wondered if you're actively promoting and training for the other popular apps.
Yes, in fact, our most trained on application actually is the calendar. We do touch on email, we touch on sites, and we touch on docs. We haven't trained much on the other things. Now, some of the other things weren't large enough to warrant their own training, such as tasks and forms, but Google has added stuff recently that those are becoming more and more that I'd like to do some introductory classes so people are aware of what new things are out there for them. Question here in the audience.
What was your process for migrating existing emails, archived emails,
sure,
existing calendar items, and will the Google, does Google email integrate with a voice over IP system?
Okay, so a couple of questions there. Our process was that we started dual delivery 2 weeks before they cut over. So emails were being sent to both the legacy system and to the primary system. So when they cut over to the primary system, there was a reserve of emails there. We would then archive everything in their own old system, and we purchased a third product, party product that enabled them to view their archive as an indexed database and said, your old stuff's here, you can refer to it on your desktop, your new stuff now going forward is in your email. That worked for us. I think a lot of people have just chosen to pop it over using either IMAP or POP. We chose not to do that, but the tools have improved since we've done it. Yes, online and then in person.
Okay, and Benjamin at Texas A&M asks, how did this move impact instruction, and does Google Apps integrate into an LMS?
It does impact instruction. It, I believe some of the LMSs have been writing different things. I know our LMS was demonstrating integration. We don't have that piece currently, but it does integrate into some LMS. Instructional use has been very interesting, primarily with sites, somewhat with docs, not so much with email. But creating sites, I know our EdTech department has created, or each student is required to create a portfolio that they can then share out with prospective employers to show what they've done. Chris.
What mobilization features have you found in Google Apps that you didn't expect to have but have found to be a benefit?
Okay, so mobilization, we'll tie this up as our last question, and then it'll be available afterwards. This coincided with the IRS change for public universities that forced us all to essentially make mobile devices personal devices. And so we went from a very managed mobile device, primarily BlackBerry, to saying, whatever you want. And so we found that 10% of our users were mobile at the time, and easily 40% are now tied into the system. So it greatly opened up the channels, if you will. As far as tools, I'm not sure it offered more or additional tools. We tie in the calendar, we tie in, of course, email, and depending on the device, they may access docs and sites. But we found that we were serving a whole lot more people than we ever were in the past on very many more platforms. And that can be problematic because now people come to us with Symbian OS, iOS, BlackBerry, Windows 7, everything under the sun. But we've also found that Google's documentation is current and up to date, and so we have something to turn to. We don't have to own all of those devices. So luckily, because Google is such a heavy player in that, they maintain their documentation. That's what's helped us. Otherwise, I think we would be buried. So I want to thank you very much. It was enjoyable today. I'll be here for questions and love to talk to you about it. Also this afternoon, if you want to be part of the tech session, I can show you different things that we're doing in the Google arena. Thank you very much.